Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
What's going on, guys? We're back. Another edition of Holy Try Football Podcast. Week 8 preview. It's already late October, Sarktober. Whatever kind of October you want. It's me, AY, here, coming to you from the beautiful state capital of Collin, Pennsylvania. Check us out on Twitter, Holy Try Football, or send us an email, holytryfootball@gmail.com. Maybe you'll see us around. Surprise coming. I'm joined, per usual, to my west. D-Berg, what's up, man?
It's a beautiful day, and it looks like it'll be a beautiful forecast for the week in Pittsburgh. Can't complain about that.
Definitely cannot. Can not. Speaking of that, can. New York City, what's up, man?
Yeah, can't wait. A little bit of last remnants of fall-summer. Supposed to be getting some good 70-degree weather here in the next couple of days, and then it'll cool down back down to about the 60s, I think. But we are fast approaching with this cold weather, and a lot of people around the city catching a little bit of cold, a little bit of sniffles. I've got a little bit here, so bear with me. I'm sorry for the poor voice quality.
It is that time of year. But we power through it, just like we're going to power through this slog of a weekend of slate.
It's no flu game for me. It's no flu game like AY's flu game from a couple weeks ago, but.
No, that's true. We'll save that
cold
for
game.
When it really gets to the grind in December.
Oh, yeah.
So before we get to this week's beautiful buffet of a slate, one quick piece of news and notes. Hit it, Ron.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Just like we were talking in a production meeting, maybe it's about time, maybe you should have done this a little while ago. Regardless, it's here now. JT Barrett starting Saturday, primetime slot on the banks against Rutgers for Ohio State. I think it was about time, coming off last week's performance. What do you think, Dan?
About time, indeed.
Yeah, that's pretty much all we have to say about that. He looked very good running that offense last week against a very stout defense. And then we saw a lot of pundits saying the players respond well to him. Let's see. Cardale, his future is unknown now. But it's JT's team now, and he's going to lead him into the banks and go from there.
Definitely felt like the team performed a lot better with him in there this past weekend.
It did. And, it did pick up, but yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, they figured that out just about one game too early for me.
But now they can do it against your second favorite team, so it's even worse.
Yeah, yeah, twice the pain for me.
Double the pain, and more or less pain for all of us looking at this upcoming slate. What do we have, guys? One game featuring two ranked opponents.
Yep.
And we have, what, five or six ranked teams in action with touchdown or less spreads. So could get a little weird. We'll see what that
happens. And as the old adage goes.
Oh, God. Before we can spew that out, let's just dive right in to really the only extended preview of the week. Number 15, Texas A&M. Travels to the Grove, taking on 24 Ole Miss. A&M is catching 5.5 in Oxford. This game is at 7 p.m. on ESPN. Dan, your SEC team, Ole Miss, and both these teams bounced back after losses last week.
Well, one of them is going to have to. I don't think there's any more ties in college football. The thing we've been talking about, it seems like almost every time we talk about Ole Miss, is Laramie Tunsil, and I believe he will be back this Saturday for this game. Outside of that, just not really sure what to make of these two teams. Obviously, Mississippi's loss last week, much more disappointing than Texas A&M's loss to Alabama. I want to see a little more Kyler Murray, actually, in this matchup, just because he was a lot of fun week one, and it feels like we haven't seen too much of him since then. A lot of points, should be a lot of points in this game. I think the Texas A&M is slightly the better side in this one, despite what we thought a month ago after Ole Miss beat Alabama. I'll go 37-34 Aggies.
Aggies cover and outright win. I like it. Can. How do you see this one going?
I've kind of lost a little bit of faith in Ole Miss. Of course, they had the great victory early on, and with help of the turnovers that we have talked about before. But now, especially with, I'm very impressed with Memphis team. They seem to struggle a little bit, let a big run there ago after jumping out early. They fell behind with, what was it, like 37 to 10 run or something like that from Memphis. I think they're susceptible to these type of big plays. You saw Alabama was able to hang in there a little bit with them and had their fair share of big plays against Ole Miss as well. I think Laramie Tunsil will give them a little bit of boost. He'll be fresh, but I think Texas A&M will be able to come out with a slight cover here. I think they're going to win by about 10 points. Let's see, 31 to 31-21. Maybe a little higher score,
38-28. So you got A&M as well.
Yes.
Oh, they're 6.5 point dogs or 6 point dogs in this one.
Ah, yes. And I definitely, yeah. I definitely like A&M.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yes.
Last year's matchup, Ole Miss raced out to a 20-0 lead at halftime and never really gave the Aggies a shot. I mean, this Aggie team is different. I was hoping to see a little more last week. They really shot themselves in the foot. And I think the thing A&M is most susceptible to is a power run game, which Henry had, 153 in the first quarter. Ole Miss does not have that. They struggle to run the ball. Now, they're getting Tunsil back, but really, is Tunsil going to all of a sudden resurrect this very poor rushing offense? I don't think so. But, I mean, he is probably the best tackle in America. I still think they're going to try and rely on, you know, Chad Kelly and Engram and Laquan Treadwell and what's the other receiver's name? Cody Lee or something. I don't remember his name. 20 yards of catch.
Cody Gore.
So, yeah, Katie Cannon and Jay Lee, everybody all mixed in one. A&M, at the end, I'm with you. I want to see more Kyler Murray. Kyle Allen struggled last week, and then Murray came in and followed suit with the pick six, like we discussed in the review. I think I like A&M to cover here. They're getting 5.5 in a game where I really don't know what's going to happen. Give me the points, and I'm not sure Ole Miss is the better team, so definitely give me the points. But just to keep this troll alive that Cannell and many of the SEC trolls have, how fun it would be to see Ole Miss win the SEC, but have that loss to Memphis.
Two loss Ole Miss. Last thing that
would be priceless.
Strength.
So for sake of being different here, let's take A&M to cover, but Ole Miss to win to keep that dream alive of just trolling everyone. I think you can throw. There's gonna be some big plays. I think both teams get it going. Throw the defense out the window. I guess right over Ken's at. Maybe 40-37. Ole Miss wins. A&M covers. Won't be surprised if A&M wins, but hoping for that troll a little longer.
Last note that I have on this. Damare Stringfellow, Jalen Walton, and Robert Kemdiche, all questionable for this game. Thank you.
Ooh, that's what I meant to go over to.
Thank you, Don Best.
Kemdiche.
Don Best. Yeah,
Kemdiche, if he's not in there then, oh boy.
Yeah.
Now how about Tunsil? His first game back against Myles Garrett.
Not fun.
It'll whip him back into game shape real quick.
Yeah, real quick. And, well, guys, that's
that's the week, right? We're packing up here. That's it.
There you have it. So, I guess 7 p.m. I guess you have, as our friends at the Saw Verbal say, if you have stuff to do, you know what?
Do it all day. You have it all day.
if you're sniffing at others and nagging for that weekend getaway, hell, just do it this weekend. Because odds are your favorite team is not playing in that great of a game. And you should be able to win. Especially you pit folk really buying in there.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Or if you want to take a little excursion to Baltimore, Maryland. Got some friends down there.
You could do that as well.
I'd love to see you.
Well, we're not going to leave you that empty with this weekend's slate. We do have, let's say, seven games to go over here in the lightning round. So, Dan, hit it.
lightning, and you're gonna crap thunder.
Good stuff. Thursday night, guys. Number 22, Temple, in a possible look-ahead spot.
Ooh.
Traveling to East Carolina. Temple catching 3. Cam?
This is a tough one here. Temple, you know, they've got a couple of big games coming up. East Carolina, they've been pretty good the last couple of years, but this year really isn't that good of a team. Even though they did still beat have their patented Virginia Tech victory. I think ECU here may be a little overmatched. Temple's got a very good defense. I like them here. Probably a little bit ugly, but I think they're going to win by about 7 points, let's say 28-21.
Okay. Dan, does Penn State help there? Does Temple help out Penn State's SOS?
Yes, they do. East Carolina. I sound like a broken record, I know. Still banged up. Temple, outright, 20-14.
Yeah, I echo that completely. 20-14, Temple. Temple's offense, though, rated, I think, 108 nationally. And if you looked at their opponents they played, minus Penn State, it is pretty bad. So
yeah.
They get that offense figured out, definitely.
I think Temple is sneaky bad, as much as it pains me to say it. They've stuck past some bad opponents, including Penn State. I don't think they're very good.
Well, as long as they don't look ahead till the following week, take care of business this week, we could find out more. We shall see. Next one, Cal, 3.5-point dog, traveling to Los Angeles, take on Josh Rosen in UCLA. Cal catching 3.5. I think Cal is a good team here. I like 3.5. They might not win this game, but for the sake, let's say they win it. I don't think Jared Goff is throwing 5-6 picks again. They still almost took down Utah in Salt Lake City. I think they moved the ball. Unless you stay defense, we all know they're out. They're down Fabian Moreau, Vander Dose, Miles Jack. Rosen, I think he's wearing down a little bit. You know, Paul Perkins, they might be able to figure him out. Cal played him tough last year, played him tougher this year. Outright win, 34-30, the Bears.
I like that pick a lot, and I don't know if UCLA will have Ishmael Adams services again. I think he formally got charged recently with regard to that battery incident, I think, with an Uber driver. They may not have him. The defense is really hurting now, especially the past couple weeks. They've really been showing those chinks in the armor, unfortunately, for my boy Tom Bradley. He's lost a lot of pieces out there. I like Cal here with that high-powered offense. I think they're going to win here 35-28.
Cal, 40-31. UCLA is still swallowing water from that boat racing last week in Palo Alto.
Is this one a Thursday night game?
Yep.
Sorry.
No, what was that?
This is another late night Pac-12 after dark.
Night Pac-12 after dark. Nothing better.
This is another Pac-12 weekday after dark. Yes.
That's gross. shifting gears to the ACC, back-to-back here. Number 6, Clemson. 7-point favorites at the U. Dan, your territory, what do you think?
What's that? I think Miami's defense is not very good. 37-24, Tigers, keep on rolling.
I don't know. I think this is a possible letdown game here. Clemson may be looking ahead here down the road a little bit. Miami at home in those the hostile confines of Sun Life Stadium. I like Miami here to cover, but they do fall 24-21. Another heartbreaker for Miami. Val going with a decent showing from his team. Plays hard for him.
Yeah, I think the over-under for attendance at kickoff here in the noon kick is like 18,000.
Yeah. They're basically the Pitt football of Florida.
As far as sleepwalking, both teams very well could be, including the crowd. Dabo is playing with fire. Keep going at people for this Clemson thing. You got to know, bro, it's going to happen. As much as I really want it to happen, I don't think Notre Dame fans should be rooting for it, because undefeated Clemson team, help Notre Dame look better, get in there. Notre Dame's not going to pass the one-loss Clemson, guys. And I don't know why I'm saying this. Notre Dame still has 5 games to go. But I would love another shot at Clemson eventually. Wow. Give me Clemson by 8. Al Golden makes things weird. I'm rooting for you, Al. 28-20 Clemson.
Ooh, yeah.
And to my Hokies hosting number 23, Duke. Duke, 2.5-point dog somehow to Virginia Tech, who gets Michael Brewer back.
Back in the saddle.
Back in the saddle.
You know, I don't even care. They're such a lost cause at this point. Jeremy Cash is going to pick them off twice, probably. And everywhere I look for these best kicker of the year, it's this Ross Martin guy from Duke. Duke by a field goal.
17-14. Yikes. That's an ugly game. What happened to this Duke offense that everybody's been raving about for David Cutcliffe? Looks like he's going through some growing pains. Duke is still winning, though. And I think they pulled this one out also very ugly. Let's say 20-17.
23-19 Dukies. They keep up in that track meet that is the ACC Coastal.
We head out west, and we did not mention earlier, a minute ago, Miami quarterback, a young Kaya.
Young Kaya.
A young Kaya.
Yo.
How to get that in. But look at this line, guys. Number 3 in the nation. 3.5-point dogs traveling to the men of Troy in USC.
The boys of Troy now.
Ooh, doggy. We all talked about this in the production meeting last third.
Yeah.
Let's see if our feelings are still in line. Can, licking your chops here or what?
Hell yeah. I got UCLA here 35-21. They're going to come out and whoop up on these Utah youths at home.
Trojans big. Okay. Dan, are you with him?
Trojans not as big, but 28-21.
We all agree. Trojans. Just too much for this. Utah sort of pissed me off, all this love, and yeah. I've watched them a decent amount. They're a nice little
team.
They're a nice little team, but
9 wins.
You live in Salt Lake City, traveling to, I mean, there's no home field advantage, but it's not Salt Lake City. Give me USC. SOS for ND as well. A sneaky game here, guys. Number 9, Florida State. 5-point favorites at the Ramblin' Wreck. Will they ever get this thing together? Dan, can they recover off that body blow from last week?
What's that? A little bit. I think Florida State wins by about, 21-17, 24-21. It's going to be close. They've given them fits in the past. Florida State.
I don't know.
24-21. Yeah.
I like Florida State to cover here. I don't think Georgia Tech is very good, and I still think they take another week to get this ship righted. I like Florida State here, let's say 35-14. And our boy Dalvin continues to be lightning in a bottle, as we've been saying for over a year now.
I think so, too. Florida State has one turnover so far this year, and they're squeaking by these games. Just wait till those turnovers come in one game. It's going to get ugly.
This isn't it, though, is it?
I don't think it's this week. I would not mind it. Apologies to FSU Michael.
Oh.
Actually, you know what? Screw it. The Rat get together went outright. 28-27.
No way.
Ohio missed the field goal as time expires.
Ohio's been a little shaky these past couple of weeks, hasn't he? He's missing a few goals, been kicking balls out of bounds.
FSU is the same as last year. They're playing with fire, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna mix it up. Give me Georgia Tech by 1.
Wow.
We've all been picking the same thing so far. Gotta mix it up.
It's a very uneventful weekend.
So I kind of threw a little spice in there.
Yeah.
Gotta get bold a little bit.
A little cayenne pepper.
Hot jambalaya.
And now for the other game of the week. Wyoming travels to Boise State. No, not that one. I think we mentioned. Big dogs. 5 touchdown dogs. That could get ugly. Boise State all those turnovers last week. Not going to do that again. Richmond, guys. Bonus.
Oh.
I don't want to talk about Wyoming anymore.
What about Kansas State, Texas? Bonus pick.
All right, yeah.
Kansas State plus four.
I like Texas.
K-State.
I don't know. I like Texas as well here. I think they're going to – I think off the bye, they're doing pretty well.
I think
Texas will cover here.
The Wizard.
The Wizard.
I like him outright, 31-27. Wildcats. Purple Wildcats.
Oh, boy.
Purple Wildcats. I like Texas here.
All right, good, because I like Texas too. They're what, 4-point favorites? Hook them.
Yep.
Okay. One more scheduled game here, guys. Richmond, number 11 in the FCS. At number 3, James Madison. Richmond catching 15 and a half. That's a lot of points. If you remember Vadley, the old QB, Georgia Tech, ran the option. Wasn't for him. Now he's James Madison, and man, is that offense humming. I was looking them up a little bit. Top scoring offense, most first downs, first in total offense in the FCS. Vadley and Khalid Abdullah, both top 10 in rushing and passing in the FCS. Guys can score and move the ball. Big one over SMU last week. 15.5 Does James Madison cover?
I don't know if Richmond has a good defense, but 15.5, that's a lot. I've got James Madison winning here, though, only, let's say, 28-24.
Wow. I disagree. The Dukes do not disappoint in front of a game day crowd. 42-17.
Wow.
Lay the lumber to the Spiders.
In front of that game day crowd, just like North Dakota State did the other year, they covered that ridiculous 58-point spread. I think James Madison does the same, 41-14. Now, give Richard a little more credit. 41-20. Okay. James Madison still covers, though. And that's your beautiful Week 8 slate for the most part. Not the sexiest of slates, but, hey, you never know. On to the whole try games for the week, guys. Irish are off. Guys have practice. Today's Tuesday. They practice on Tuesday. Off rest of the week. I know a lot of guys are going home for the weekend. Rest up. You know, a few years ago, 2012, when Notre Dame had their bye week, I went to Bloom. You know who else was in Bloom? You know who I met at a party there? A young Theo Riddick. His brother or cousin or somebody went to BU.
Yeah.
He's currently tearing it up there.
Up there in the Motor City.
Yep, motoring around.
Very nice guy. Just casually said, "Hey man, I don't know what I said. It was 5 seconds." So keep the good work. But they're going home. So if you're in Philly, look for Will Fuller. And if you're in Baltimore, look for us. So during the bye, we got Pitt, Syracuse, Penn State, Maryland. Dan, you want to go first here? I believe your game is at 12:30.
That works for me. We're noon. High noon.
Noon.
On the U. Yeah, I'm looking at Syracuse's schedule here after that daunting start to the season facing Rhode Island, Wake Forest, and Central Michigan. They've dropped their last three to LSU and USF and UV on the road. Neither of those last two teams I mentioned are good whatsoever. I think the dam's either going to break this week against Pitt or next week at Florida State. But before I give my pick, let everyone know Jordan Whitehead's probably going to play, as well as Terrish Webb. And that's really, Reggie Mitchell was questionable, but that he's not as integral of a part to that defense as the two that I first mentioned. As I mentioned in the preview of this Syracuse team, which I believe I had the joy of covering in our previews, they just don't do much offensively. I'm stunned that they were able to score 24, 24, and 38 in their last three games. They're on their third string, fourth string, fifth string, whoever he is at quarterback. But I think this team really is crushed. That would have been a nice boost as they got into conference play had they beaten UVA and started 2-0. I just think they're kind of let down a little bit after a tough triple overtime loss. I think Pitt has a very similar game plan, mixes it up as they did against Georgia Tech, and I think most things will be working. I actually really like Pitt to roll here. I'll go 42-13.
Good.
Big. They're focused. It's what happens if they blow, if they do blow this team out afterwards that I'm worried about. They're losing their focus a little bit.
Yeah. They've got a tough schedule after this game, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't get a little too fat and a little too sassy, right?
They may. I know you're hoping for that, kid.
No, I need you guys to be nice and fat and sassy for next year.
Yeah.
Good ACC Coastal champions and high and mighty.
You know what happened last time? Pitt came into a season fat and sassy, right?
Yeah.
They got blown out by Notre Dame. What are you guys thinking, though?
I think Pittsburgh wins as well, fairly comfortably.
Yeah, I'll go 35-17.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to give up many points in this game. Really don't.
Syracuse. Is Schaefer done?
Probably not. He didn't have any really embarrassing losses yet. And I don't see it. If they lose.
He's not been good. He has not been good.
No. But, I mean, what do you do if you're... You gotta hire PJ Fleck, lure him up to the Carrier Dome. What are you gonna do?
They gotta drop the $4 million for Fuente.
Maybe. No. It's crazy how long it's been since Syracuse has been even above average. They've had a couple decent bowl teams, but that's mediocre.
Very average.
Yeah, it's crazy because I remember thinking Syracuse was good as a adolescent. And that is not the case.
Yeah, who'd they have? Walter Reyes.
Walter Reyes. Yeah, they beat Notre Dame.
The White Ghost.
Yeah.
Except he's black.
He's like
it's a long story.
Speaking of Fuentes, one of the many coaching candidates that are friends down south in Maryland College in College Park think that they're going to have a chance at with their coach Randy Etzel out. Penn State, they'll be hosting, technically hosting. They'll be on a neutral site game now, but I think it still does count as, it doesn't really count, but it is, Maryland is the home team, I believe. They will be honoring their, I believe, 1961 football team, wearing throwback uniforms, honoring what was, up until last year, their only victory over Penn State. Now they are 35-2-1, I believe, against Penn State after last year's victory. We'll see how they do this year. Penn State opened up, I believe, an 8-point victory, an 8-point favorite, now down to 6.5. Penn State, we'll keep it short here. Maryland is not very good. They're coming off a bye week, but I do think they come out with some fire. Loxley will want this team to kind of come out, rally the troops and circle the wagons, but I think Perry Hills will have a couple of runs here and there. But other than that, Penn State will bottle up their run. They have not very many. They don't have any real receiving threats. The one thing I will say, do not punt to Will Likely. He is fantastic. He leads the nation. I think he's second in the nation in average per punt return. And he had – oh, I'm sorry. No. let me back up. There's the wrong stat. Well, one thing I will say, do not punt to Will Likely. This guy is averaging over 22 yards per punt return, and he has, like, the second most punt returns, the number of punt returns in the nation this year. So it's not like he's just doing it on a couple punt returns. He's got a lot of punt returns, and he gets a lot of yardage. You remember he broke some record. I forget what it was, returning punts earlier this season. But that's about the only offensive threat, and he's a defensive back. So... Though the one thing Penn State's got to be careful of, like I mentioned before, Perry Hill's running the ball. Other than that, they've got a couple running backs that are decent. Wes Brown, he's a bigger back, but you've seen all year. Penn State really hasn't had too big of a
a problem containing backs that are running out of traditional sets and more of a traditional back. Ezekiel Elliott did get some yards, and of course, JT Barrett evidencing why he should be the starter. Did run for some yardage against Penn State last week. Penn State offensively, I think it's quite simple here. Their defense is not very good. Very undersized defensive line. You know, pound it up in there. Have Saquon Barkley get his yardage. I think he does go for over 200 this week. And I do think it'll loosen up the secondary for Hackenberg to hit a bomb here or there. I think Penn State will get up over 30 points. I will venture to say about 34-14 they will win.
I'll go 20-7 Penn State over the Turtle.
The Turtle.
Can solid preview. I like Penn State in this one. Two cover. We're going with, what, 6.5, guys?
Yep.
Okay. I guess, yeah, I'll go a little bit higher than that. I'm going to go 23. Yeah, you know what? Maryland's not very good. They're oatmeal. 23-10. Pitt bounces back behind Barkley. Not Pitt. Penn State. 23-10. Penn State. They ride the legs of Saquon Barkley.
Yep.
You know, I'm just not – I think they need to let Hackenberg reset a little bit.
Yeah.
Give him 7 attempts this week.
Yeah. You know, Ken, do you think is Christian Hackenberg like the 2015 Logan Thomas?
Oh, I think he's Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
That was a pre-planned joke, Ken.
Oh, I believe it.
That was not a serious question.
I believe it was. It's
You don't have to answer that. It's not a real
question. You don't have to answer it. We're just getting all riled up.
I think at this point, they're just trying to ride out the season. I do think the offense will be better when Hackenberg is not there. I think it's just not working. I think five games, he'll be out of here. Wish him well in the draft, and they'll move on from there.
Don't you think they just should bring in someone like a Darryl Clark or a Michael Robinson? Seriously.
Exactly. Yeah, they do. The backup quarterback is that way, but I think at this point they I do think it would be smart to give that guy a couple of series here and there in the game. Trace McSorley.
Grant, I haven't been, you know, scouring Penn State's time of possession statistics, and I don't know that the four of these first six games are any indication of it, but I just feel like when Penn State was at their best on this side of the century, that they were controlling the clock, giving that defense time off, and just shortening the game.
And at this point, they try to do that, but they can't really. I mean, it's not like they're running a hurry up,
right,
and getting off the field like that. But at this point, a lot of the plays just aren't working. They're getting off not by their own accord, but they just can't move the ball at all. And it's not by trying to be a possession team. They just can't. I think this past week they converted 1 out of 14 first third downs or something like that. It wasn't very good.
Yeah,
they're not a team that stays in, and it's a variety of factors. I think at this point, a lot of the team is handcuffed because of a lot of what John Donovan is capable of calling is handcuffed because of the lack of confidence in the line, and by extension, Hackenberg not being very consistent and believing in his line. I think he's not very comfortable, and he's not helping things by being bad not only at the short game. But I think it spread out into the rest of his game as well. He's not very confident in anything at all.
Yeah.
Okay. But we all like State this weekend.
Yep.
At the least.
Okay.
A little revenge for the non-handshake.
I do remember that.
Yes. Ken
was not happy. Ken was not. But what makes AY happy is the favorite time of the week. Time for some locks of the week.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up. No, you lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
We fell back below 500 last week after the week one started the challenge against the Holy Tri Troll, Patterson. The troll. As if you can't make out, he does explain it here. Can was flying our flag for the week. Dan and I went down with Michigan and, what, Tulsa?
Yeah, I got a bad number on them. I think it closed at 14. They lost by 13.
It did. I saw that on Bad Beats on SVP yeah. Sports Center.
Yeah.
And Cam brought home for us last week. So good deal. Patterson went down in a ball of flames.
In a heap.
With Northwestern. But, Dan, I believe he called back in this week.
He did. He's going to give it another shot here. Take a listen.
Hey, kiddos. Holy Tri Troll here with your true lock of the week. Like Danny's father once did, I slipped up last week, only I took Northwestern. He ended up with a kid named Patrick. Danny, I don't think dumber than your pick is a team named Golden Hurricane in the middle of Tulsa, Oklahoma. See a lot of hurricanes in Oklahoma, do you? AY, I applaud your method of drowning out your stupidity with alcohol before making your pick. Unfortunately, you're still stupid. And Can, you proved two things to me this week. One, that you understand the point of the exercise, and also how much of an idiot you are. This week, I'm taking Washington State +7 over Arizona with your true lock of the week.
We are all stupid.
I do. I'm not gonna lie. I did enjoy that. The troll. Patterson, good stuff. You got the Cougs +7 against Rich Rod. He was not happy with the Pac-12 scheduling.
Of course not.
What's he got? Like 11 straight games to start out the year or something like that?
12, yeah, and a bunch of
12. Right
night. Just losing sleep. Dan, per usual, you're on the dock. What do you got?
All right. Pretty simple this week. I was taking a look at Football Outsiders F-plus rankings, as there's been a lot of data to add into that database. So I'm going to Nashville, Tennessee for Missouri at Vandy. And I will be selecting the Commodores as a 3-point home dog as my lock of the week. And the Football Outsiders, Vandy's 64th. Missouri 66th. I think the wrong team's favorite should be honestly around a pick 'em because I don't think there's much of a home field advantage at Vandy. But give me the Commodores +3.
Like it.
Nice pick.
Thank you.
Ken, what do you got?
Well, with the home team here, Penn State, not at home in Baltimore, but I do expect a very partial Penn State crowd. I think they're going to put a butt whooping on Maryland and exact a little bit of revenge after that nasty affair last year in State College. Okay. Lock up that 6.5.
Solid pick as well. I thought both of you guys might go with that USC pick. But you know what I'm gonna do here? I like a 6.5-point spread as well. Lock it up, big time. 20-point win. Pitt, lock it up.
Oh, the reverse!
Love it.
But it's not a reverse.
You need to lock up that strength of schedule.
Yes, I'll be big time pulling for you. Lock it up. Pitt -6.5. Good stuff. How do you feel calls. About that pick?
I appreciate the support.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
He appreciates the support.
Leave it. Yeah, good stuff. All
right. Dan is getting so antsy right now with this team. He doesn't know whether or not to jump on the bandwagon full on or not. He's so scared of feeling hope.
Yep. Too many times.
And I don't blame
him. Too many times.
I don't blame him. I'm here to support you with that.
It's just it's unpredictable. Before I go on a long rant, it's so unpredictable.
All right, well, before we close out here, you guys got any games left to watch?
The whole slate. Just don't watch college football this weekend.
Yeah, go do something with your family or your dog.
Or go to Baltimore and tailgate.
Or do that, or go bowling. I don't know. Maybe get around
don't
the golf
touch it.
Quick. Who knows?
Don't even look at it. Go on. Get out.
10:30 p.m. on the flagship Pac-12 Network. Do not watch Colorado at Oregon State.
Oh, that is an ugly game. That is an ugly game.
Disgusting.
I guess we had to pick one. 8 o'clock, Troy, 1-5 at New Mexico State, 0-6.
Do not stream that game on your Chromecast.
No, yeah, that's I think they'll do for those games. Maybe North Texas 0-6 at Marshall 6-1. That's ugly too.
That's not
Kansas 0-6 at 6-0 Oklahoma State.
Ugh.
Yikes.
I could go on.
You think a Boston College Louisville has the potential to be real ugly?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
17.
Lamar Jackson
6.
Some turnovers here and there.
I mean, if you watch Louisville, they run backup quarterbacks, they're running back and slot receiver.
That's it. That's interesting. That's Petrino right there. Louisville's the Mets.
Reginald Bonafont.
Reginald, not call me Le Du Bonafont.
This thing's coming off the rails. I'm done here. This week stinks.
This week bites.
We'll be back.
Hey.
Recapping, hopefully will be some very entertaining games, just like when we don't expect it. Who knows, maybe Butch Jones will spring one on Nick Saban. We don't know. But, yeah, I'm reaching here as well. We'll see you next Monday, guys.
Yeah, we'll check it out. So thanks for listening. Tell your friends, HolyTryFootball@gmail.com. Send us a tweet at HolyTryFootball. For me, AY here, coming to you from the state capital, beautiful Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. I'll be in Baltimore this weekend. Look for me there, as well as the other guys. To my west, D-Berg.
Good night, all.
And northeast, Kanzu.
Kanzu will also be in Baltimore. Come find us.
Really nixing that, but I love it. Thanks for listening, guys. Have a good one.